Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your flight 501 from LAX to New York. I'll be your flight attendant today. I'm assisted by three other LAX flight attendants. It's our pleasure to accompany you and get you there safely. Some minor rules we'll have to go over. Please keep your seatbelt fastened in case there's an emergency. Even the seatbelt sign is off. Keep your seatbelt on in case we have any unexpected turbulence. Do I have your attention? So I'm a flight attendant, but that's not my main job. My main job is I'm a mom, and I take that with all the seriousness of a mom. I'm a flight attendant for work, for money, but I really found that I get to use all my talents as a mom. And I'm going to just settle down. let's pray, and thank you guys so much for being here. My name's Jamie. All right, Lord, thank you so much for these women in this room. You've called us to be your disciples, and you've called us to live inside you and to abide in you. And Lord, I know that we get caught up in so much chaos and things that are happening outside of our homes and outside of our world and things that we can't control. And we can find ourselves just in a routine of just maintaining and just trying to focus on one thing and the next thing and where do we go from here and why are we even here and all that, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would just breathe into us fresh air, fresh breath, and that we would seek you and feel you and hear you more acutely with all the joy and fervor of a disciple that a disciple should have, so that we could bear fruit, Lord, because that is the mission of our lives. And I thank you so much again. Amen. So, yeah, I don't know why I'm here, really. I find it just completely humbling that I'm here, and so I just hope that you give me the grace as a person who's just a person just like you, who just found herself here, asked by the people above me to share with you guys, and they gave us this subject, Stuck in the Blahs. I would love to say that I'm never not happy, because that's kind of my thing, right? People come to my house and they're like, oh, you're so happy, and then you're always happy. But actually, I'm kind of a melancholy person when it comes down to it. I pace myself during the day. I'm alone a lot. You know, even though I have my kids around, I'm not really with a friend or a buddy, you know. I'm not on the phone all the time. I'm just washing dishes, and I'm cooking, and I'm cleaning, and I'm going to the grocery store, and it's all really by myself. And as a flight attendant, I'm by myself even more. Yes, you go in front of people, and then you go to the back of the plane, and you're just like... and... even though there's people to talk to, it's like they're not really your people, you know? And we find ourselves as women, for the most part, we're on our own a lot. And I think that's something that as a child, you're not really, you know, used, you know, as you get older, you kind of find yourself in that. We have to introspect and think and be with ourselves and then realize what we have with God. So we have this relationship with him that is the actual life, like, right? So why are we here? What is our purpose in life? We are here to give God glory, to bear fruit. That's it. And when you can boil that down to just that, life becomes about actually abiding in him. So we're going to read the chapter, and it's not up here because I didn't put it up there because I don't know why. But it is John 15. And when I was preparing this, this chapter just kept on coming into my head, and it was like I couldn't get away from it. I would try to do other things, like, oh, I'll do the life of David and Saul and Ruth and this, blah, blah, blah. And it's like God was just like, no, abide in me. So here it is, John 15, 1, if you can find it. I'll read it. And you can close your eyes and just picture, this is Jesus' words, right? And he is talking about something that everybody knows what a vine is, right? We all know something that it's not arbitrary. We all know what a plant is, right? Okay, good. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Okay, so we're all here, and you've come for a certain thing, thinking that maybe I could solve your problem or, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. And the truth is, I can't. But I can tell you some practical ways of where we can find ourselves and really get back into that abiding in Christ. And I think the first thing that I hope we can do today is kind of figure out what our issue is and be honest and be open and bare before God. Because if we keep on saying, well, you know, it'll get better and I just have to do this more and I just have to go to the church more and have more church friends and da-da-da, without really being honest about who we are and why we're feeling like this. So, here we go. Hope that would explain something. The first one is, you know, what kind of blah? So we're going to give you a couple minutes to write down what kind of blah. I just put some examples. Are you discontented? Are you overwhelmed, fearful, anxious, hopeless, or bored? So in those categories, you could have like, you know, three of them you could have a lot to say. And one of them you're like, no, I'm not fearful about anything. Okay, that's fine. But what is it? Let's get down into the nitty-gritty of who and why we're feeling this way. Why is just being a mom not doing it for you anymore? Like, it's just... Why is going to church every week just not feeling the same? You know, why is reading the Bible not really speaking to you? You know, are you hopeless? You know, and what are the things that you're hopeless about? I want you to really write, and I'm going to be a few minutes. I'm going to be quiet, I promise. I'll try. Just write down and just pour it out there. Writing, but I want to tell you a story about my little life for a snippet. I was never really honest with God about how discontented I was in my first marriage. I wouldn't even voice it to God. I was so scared of the things I would say. I never voiced it to my friends. I never voiced it to anyone. I held it in. And this is why we're doing this. Because if you can't say it to God, if you can't write it down because you're afraid somebody's going to find it or you're afraid that even it's there, eventually it will cut off that branch from that root, and it'll wither and die. Just think about that. So keep writing. Keep going. You can keep writing if you want. So here's a thing that I decided to do. If you are discontented, what is the opposite of discontented? And you're going to write things that you're thankful for, things that God has done in your life. Okay. If you have like three things you're discontented with, you say, well, what does God say about that? You know, I'm discontented with my weight. I'm discontented with my life and my home or my job or whatever, okay? And then you're gonna resolve that a little bit just by writing some of the things that we're thankful for. For the overwhelming, if you feel overwhelmed, you're gonna write the things that maybe possibly, I'm gonna say this word wrong, superfluous in your life that maybe possibly you need to weed out. Maybe they're not necessary. Maybe there are things that you've got yourself into because you made a commitment to somebody, but you didn't really feel like God told you to make that commitment, but you're like, I have to do it, and da-da-da. Okay, maybe that's something, you know what it is. You know those things that just are not vibing with your main focus and what is what you're supposed to be doing. So that's overwhelming. So you're going to write a list of maybe some of the things that you need to weed out of your life. And maybe there are people even that you need to set boundaries with because they're taking up too much and they're making you overwhelmed, right? And then for hopeless, I put, for me, when I'm hopeless, I go right to the Bible. Since I was probably, I don't know, 12, I read a chapter in Old Testament, a chapter of Psalm or Proverbs, and then a chapter in the New Testament. And that's just kind of been, because I'm not really good at keeping a regiment with other things, like a devotional or whatever. And that's where I do it without even thinking now. I just kind of go through a book in the Old Testament, then I go to a Psalm or Proverbs, remember where I was the last time, and then I go to either an epistle or a gospel. And that just kind of gives me like this broad overview scope of the entire Bible, and it really helps me to put into perspective my life. So I don't know if that works for you guys. If you could put, let me see what one it is. Yeah, the next slide. So if you guys want to write this down, I was telling Eni about it the other day. If you want to write this URL down, this is Chuck Smith tapes, which I went to Bible college. And we used to have to go through these all the time. And to this day, I put them on when I'm washing dishes, when I'm getting ready for the day. Today I had them on when I was even trying to figure out what I was going to wear. I just put this on, and it helps me, because you know he's got this wealth of knowledge to understand maybe some of the things I don't understand in the Bible. So right now I'm going through, I'm at 2 Samuel, and then if I'm even going to talk about, like if I'm thinking about, oh, what was that, Proverbs? But I'll put it on, and I'll just listen to it. And I'm like, wow, like, you know, I had that, like, little snippet of a word from God, like, but I don't have time to sit down and read it. I don't know much about it. I'll put it on, and Chuck Smith walks you through verse by verse of those things. And it's really, for me, it's like eating. It's like, oh, it's so good. So that's my kind of plug for that one. And then for, what else did we have? Overwhelming. Okay, so now we have bored, right? Yeah, we're at bored. And don't we know bored? There's nobody more bored than a flight attendant, just so you all know. People think, oh, it's so exciting. You must be so exciting all the time, just happy, happy. It is the most boring job one could possibly have. It's when you're sitting there watching a movie, I'm sitting in the back watching you watch a movie. It's not the same. When you're sitting there eating food, I'm like, I wish I could eat that food. It's really boring. So I thought we could write down the things that we are good at, the things that we used to like to do, the things that once inspired us. We're going to write those things down. And believe it or not, God made you with talents, and he made you with desires and things that you like to do for a reason. And what is that reason, ladies? To bear fruit. What a crazy thing. So even if they minister to you, that is going to minister to others, right? Happy sheep produce happy sheep. So by figuring out what it is about you that made you you, that you might have put away because you got too busy, you're going to think about what those things are. You're going to write those down. And then you're going to start thinking about how you can use them for other people. Okay? So believe me, there's one thing I'm not when I'm home. I'm not bored at home. And I've learned as a flight attendant not to be bored even on the plane. I write all the time. That's one thing I'm allowed to do. And I draw. And then I look at my friend over there, and she looks kind of meh. And I go, hey, why are you meh? And then we get to talk. And because I've got this wealth of knowledge from these little chuck tapes, and I'm writing my stuff, I go, well, actually, I was thinking about this. And I mean, the things that I've said to people that aren't Christian, like, I don't even know why I'm saying them. I'm like, the other day I started talking about giving the land rest for 70 years and, you know, all this stuff. And this girl was like, well, I'm not really religious. And I was like, yeah, but get this, okay? And so I'm like going through the 7, you know, years of plenty and then giving the world rest. And I said, and maybe that's why coronavirus is here. Like, we're supposed to rest. Like, we have not given the earth rest. And she was like. And I said, you know what? You know who gives their people rest all the time? Chick-fil-A. And you know what? They didn't even skip a beat. They are fine. And she was like, you're right. So, random, I know. But that's the thing that, like, we don't have to be like everybody else. God made you perfectly for this time, for this season, and gave you these tools and these talents for those reasons. God made me a weirdo, and that's okay. And I have learned to use it for his glory, to bear fruit. And I'll tell you, my kids are going to be the weirdest fruit on the trees. Let me tell you. They are weird, and I'm okay with it. And God knew that I was going to have weird kids, right? I don't know which came first, but. So, it's okay. No, I don't. No, you're just on your own with that one. I actually don't. I don't know how that happened. I think when I was going through this, I don't know why I don't have, I swear I did. Where is it on the list? Overwhelmed after overwhelmed? Let's see. Avoid being anxious. Learn how to make it easier. What you can change. Ah, yes. Okay, it is here. I didn't do. Okay, so this is actually a big one. Actually, thank you. Gosh, that is great. Okay, so here's a quick story about my father-in-law, who is these lovely ladies' dad. Maybe you know him, Paul Martin. He goes around with his little hat, and he's the cutest thing on earth. So we always have second Sunday at the Martin house, and it ends up being anywhere between 10 people to almost 20 people, I guess, at sometimes. And Paul Martin makes it very known that he hates having people over. I mean, you just can sense it. It's like, but when he's there, when everybody's there, he's just chill. Like, he's just chill, he's happy, he's whatever. So one day I'm sitting with him. This is like, you know, not second Sunday. This is not, it's in between. And we're sitting there, and I said, what is it about us coming over that gives you so much anxiety? And why don't you? No, I love having everybody here. okay, so what is it? He's like, I just, the setup, and like, is it going to be 5 people? Is it going to be 20 people? I set up and blah, 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 and set up. So finally I was like, okay, so it's just a setup. It's just a setup. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, why don't you figure out what the things are in the setup that cause you those pings of anxiety and fix them? And then the next time we say, we're all coming over, you'll be like, here it is. Like, I fixed the situation. I have it. And then it won't give you anxiety anymore. And he was like, okay. And I thought I wasn't really getting through to him. The next second Sunday, he came up to me. He goes, I did what you said to do. And it was great. And all I said was, make sure you have, if you have, you know, it's going to be 20 people, it means 4 tables of 5. If it's 10 people, it's 2 tables of 5. You know, the tables are here. The cloths are here. Blah, 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 and make it really simple. And he did that. And it changed how he even, when I go over there, I don't feel like he's begrudging or like mad at me for being there. You know, it's just taken it away. And so for my life, I see that all the time. I have anxiety about doing lunches every day. Oh my gosh, like making children lunch is like such a hassle. And then all of a sudden I was like, why is it a hassle? Why do I hate it so much? It's because the bread's over here, and the thin's over there, and the knife's over there, and the this is over there, and the children are wanting different things. It's like, what if I just took 25 minutes after dinner and made lunches with my husband, because he's still there, he's still alive, right? And we just pounded them out, and we know exactly, and it's like this, we know that the lunch boxes are always here after lunch, or when they come home from school, and it just made it like this system that it doesn't give me anxiety anymore, I don't dread it anymore, I don't care anymore, I'm just like, oh, time to do lunches. And then in the morning, we're like waiting around like this, like, what do? We have like 20 minutes before school. I have 5 kids. Who gets to sit around for 20 minutes before school and go like, I guess we could just go get in the car. I mean, I don't know. It's crazy, but it took away all that anxiety, all that worry about it, and not, you know, because we solved the little situation. And I find that with everything in my life, even painting my house. What is it about painting my house that I was so afraid of? Clean up and doing this one little edge thing. Okay, then figure out a system to clean up the brushes. Okay, then figure out to do that first. It's the simplest thing. But a lot of times, instead of fixing the situation, we just, I'm just not going to do it. I just, instead of going like, how can I figure out what is that problem, fix that little problem, make it streamlined, and then go, then your life is easier. And it doesn't have to be money. You don't have to pour money into like lunches. I didn't have to like, you know, I didn't buy some kind of system where the machine brought me my lunches every day. You know, it was just me being more organized. And yeah, so that's good, kind of ish. All right, let's go over here. Just the one I. Oh. Yeah. Okay, so flip your page. Hopeless? Oh, you're just hopeless. Really, I did miss hopeless. Yeah, that's where I talked about going to the Word, and really there is nobody who can ever give you hope except Christ. I'm just going to say that right now. There's been so many times in my life where I felt like when I felt discontented or whatever, I thought somebody out there is going to raise me up and pull me up and make me feel good again, or raise me up and make me feel important or valued or whatever, but there's no one except Christ, and that only comes from really delving into who he is and why he came, really. That's from point A to point Z in the Bible. It's just your need for a Savior woven through. Here comes the Savior. He's here. How are we to live now that we know? I mean, it's just such a gorgeous book. And it's just living and moving. Okay, so flip that page. Now, as you notice, I'm dyslexic. So we have 1, and then 2, and then 2, and then 3. So that's a dyslexic right there. But God can use me too. Okay, so we're going to do something, and I thought we'd call it Tune Your Heart. I'm a musician, and before you start anything in life, you have to tune, or music, you have to tune. You don't want to start without tuning. The other day I was working in the school and the kids were all playing guitars and I'm like, are you, did you tune? Says this one kid. Yeah, yeah, I tuned. I was like, okay, does not sound good. We're all playing guitar. I'm like, are you sure you tuned? Yeah, I mean, I got the tuner on there. And I'm like, okay. So then I take his guitar and I go, ding, ding, ding. And I was like, oh, you didn't tune to the right note. Like, he had tuned to a note, but it wasn't the right note in the thing. So this is tuning your heart. So remember, every day, if you could, make it into your brain that you're going to tune your heart to sing his praises. You're going to tune your heart to know him, to be with him. So what I do first is I empty my mind. And that means my to-do list, okay? So this is practical, right? For every day. Like, because you're going to walk out of here, you might feel good for this many minutes, but you're like, I'm going to go home and you're going to be alone again. Even though your husband's here or your kids are there, it's still just you, right? We're still here. You're just you and God. So we're going to empty our mind and our to-do list. And this is where you say, oh my gosh, I need to call the doctor. And I need to like call the other doctor for the other kid and the other kid. Okay. And then the dentist. Oh my gosh, I gotta fill out that paperwork for the thing and I gotta sign up for that. And you write it down and you get it out of your mind. And if there's anything right now, I'm talking to you guys. If there's anything right now that is in your mind, like right now when I said you need to do this, I want you to write it down. I want you to get it out of your mind and we're not gonna think about it after that, okay? Okay, can we do that? So, you're going to empty your mind of your to-do list, and then we're going to pretend that we read the chapters. This is where I talked about you read your three chapters, maybe, or you just read a proverb, whatever you can handle, and then we're going to write a psalm, okay? So, as I was studying for this, I kept on thinking about David. So I studied up on David, 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 and all I got was Saul, 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 Saul. And I was like, no, I want to talk about David, because David's cooler. And I was like, no, you're Saul. Saul's your problem. Saul is you, Jamie. Saul is so you. Saul had all the talent and all the good stuff, and he had the anointing of God. And then he was like, cool, I got that. Now I'm going to go on my own, and I'm going to do things my own way a little bit here. Just a little bit. I mean, the things that he did, you would be like, really? That's what got God mad at you? But it was because he didn't wait on God. He didn't seek God first. He didn't do the things that he was supposed to do. So I got Saul, and we learned about him, and I figured out I was him. And then I was like, but I want to be David. I really, really want to be David. And David, when I started reading about David, is David, whatever he put his hands to, he did for God. Okay? So he was a shepherd first, right? He was just a boy. And when Samuel came looking for him for the next king, where's all your kids? Okay, you got 8 kids. Where's your other kid? Oh, he's out in the field, dude. He's like doing the sheep thing. Now bring him in, a kid. And he's like, that's the one. And he said, God looks at the inner. Man looks at the outer. I look at the inner. So, okay, so that's something. I can't just look like I got it together. I can't fake that I've got this source. You can't fake that. You have to have that. I want the heart of David. That David sat out on the fields, and he took care of his sheep like God wanted him to take care of the sheep, with literally the strength of 1,000 men. I mean, he killed lions and bears, as we found out later on, right? So I thought, let's write a psalm like David would write a psalm. And this is what I do a lot, too, when I'm on the plane, sitting around doing nothing, is I just pour out my soul to God. And so I wrote some things. If you get to which one is it? I don't know which one it is. Let's see. I got too many things going on. It's after all the Psalms, I think. Maybe. Where is it? Well, anyway, it's in your sheet if you don't see it. Maybe I didn't put it on there. But so you're going to thank God for all he's done in the past, present, and will do. Okay? So that's your first thing in your writing your psalm. And we're going to write a psalm right now. So you've already emptied your brain. You're not thinking about to-do list, okay? That's gone. Pretend it doesn't exist. And you're going to write down all that he's done in the past, present, and will do, okay? And this is going to put it in your own words. Is it up there? Yeah, okay. You're going to put it in your own words what God's done in the past, the present, and will do. And once you've done that, you're going to cast all your cares on him. What does that mean? All the crap. Just cast it on him. All the stuff. Things you're worried about. Things you're hopeless about. Overwhelmed about. Don't know how to talk to someone about. People that drive you crazy. Kids that drive you crazy. Boss that drives you crazy. Cast it on him. This is our modern day psalm. This is what David would have written if he was in your shoes. Okay? And now we're going to praise him, which is different than thanking him, believe it or not. You're giving him glory. You're not saying, thank you for all the things you've done for me. You're saying, now you are good. You are great, even if you don't feel it. Because you did feel it one time, right? You were saved, right? One day, God took a hold of you, captured you, and you realized his goodness. Write that, even if you don't feel it right now. Okay, so not to put anybody on the spot, I will read mine, okay? This is the one I wrote the other day. And this was in about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. So this is not, you know, I'm thinking, and I didn't know I was going to share it, but it's just, right? Okay, so I emptied my brain of my to-do list, right? I'm no longer a woman who's got 5 kids, but I'm a disciple of Christ, right? I'm just sitting there before God. You created the heavens before anyone knew that they were cells in our bodies or breath in our organs. My kids are learning about the body a lot. All for what? Why do you take time on us and with us? You are holy and perfect at all times. You are higher and greater than anything we have ever known. Why would you stoop down and deal with us? I see how I am with my kids. I have never-ending patience with them. To be honest, it's a kind of new mercy every morning. Is that what it means to be a child of God? We mess up, we complain, we ask so much, we shun consequences, but you, our Father, Father of creation, keep coming to us and asking for simple repentance so you can lavish love on us. Remind me daily of how I am like your kid so I can be more patient with my own. Remind me daily of your goodness so I never step far from you ever again. Keep me close to you like a mother with her newborn. Never let me go. I need you. So once you've written that in your own words, right, you read that back to yourself, and you will be ministered to you, yourself, by yourself, because God was speaking. He's nudging your heart. The things, once you empty your heart, once you empty your to-do list, you have inside you the Holy Spirit, and he wants to work in you and talk to you and minister to you. And by, like, really letting go of all that other stuff, you can get there. I literally cannot believe some of the things I've written before. And then I look back in a journal and I'm like, whoa, that was really neat. Like, I would never think to even say it that way this time around or whatever. But you were created to have a relationship with him. And he created you with your own individual way of saying things. Who is going to be able to minister to yourself but you and him? You know what I mean? It's you and God abiding in him and he in you. Okay, so we've gotten through that, and now we're at Ruth, real quick. We only have 10 minutes, but Ruth 2:5, if you could put that on there for us, Alicia. So I started thinking about Ruth a lot as I was talking about David, and something inspired me with Ruth, and that is that Because she was just being a good daughter-in-law, Boaz took notice of her. And because she worked from sunup to sundown, Boaz, her future husband, took notice of her. Now, she was a widow. She was not just a widow. She was a widow without a family, really. She was kind of wandering with her mother-in-law because they both lost two people in their family. And all that she could really do was work, was just figure out how to survive, right? And she did that, but she took care of her mother-in-law, which really in that culture wasn't necessarily necessary. Like, she would have probably gone back to her family and been taking care of that. But she had this love for her mother-in-law, and because of that, Boaz looked at her and took her in and married her, and their lives were super blessed. They took in Naomi, the mother-in-law, as well, and they gave birth to Obed, and Obed gave birth to Jesse, and Jesse gave birth to David. And here you have the great-great-grandmother who, just by her simple faith in working for God and doing what was in front of her daily, to the best of her ability, with all the love, gave her notice by Boaz and by God. She is in the lineage when they say, so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so. There's only two women listed, and one of them is Ruth. And I thought, that's such a beautiful picture for us, because we are just us, right? We just have what's in front of us. It doesn't seem very, like, crazy, right? It doesn't seem like it's going to change anybody's lives or impact anybody's world or whatever. But that's what God has called you to do, what is right in front of you. And that, if you do that right in front of you every day, as unto God, God will keep on giving you more and will bless that. And I know 100% that to be true from my life. I started out with two kids, and then there's another two kids that came in, and now there's a baby. And now I have about five neighborhood kids in my class, or my house at all times, on top of all those kids. And it literally feels like I have maybe one kid. I don't feel it at all. And it's really just because constantly doing my best with the ones that I have, and God just keeps giving me a little bit more. What is in my domain? What do I actually control? I control nothing, but he just lets me, like, live and breathe and work with these kids. And I don't know what that means later, right? So we have grandmothers in here that have 18 grandchildren. She probably didn't think that she would be involved in 18 individuals are going to know that she's their grandma, and they're going to have stories about her and how this and that and the other. She's impacting. Then those 18 kids are going to have, like, say, like, six kids each. And, you know, you're going to have, like, all these kids. And it's like a whole generation can be impacted by you, by one person. I just think that's just amazing. So the next thing I put on the list of things we should do was action. Do all things as unto God. I think I have Psalm 37, the last one up there. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fear when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn your wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Well, we're not supposed to worry? Oh, okay. Just making sure we all started that. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Oh, my goodness. So we talked about all your gifts that you had, right, when we talked about being bored or whatever. Think about this. Are you waiting for somebody to minister to you? Or could you possibly, with what you have, your little bit, could you minister to somebody else? I promise you that when you give more than you receive, this is why I tell my kids all the time, it's better to give. If you give more than you receive, like, you can't be stuck in the blahs for very long, because it's its own reward. So I have about five girlfriends, and I call them my best friends, right? They're my best friends. Do you know how many times my best friends call me or text me first? Almost never. But I still consider them my best friends. I'm the one. And they always say, oh, Jamie always reaches out to, because I know what it's like to be so busy that you can't really, you don't think and you're like, da da da, and they're busy, blah, blah, blah. And to get a text from somebody that just encourages them and loves on them, like, I don't care if they don't do that to me. I literally do not care. I stopped caring a long time ago. What I care about is loving them and making them feel happy and loved and warm and all that. And that reciprocation that they give without meaning to is all I need. When I got married, they were all there. They packed up their stuff and they were there. When I had a baby, they're the ones that come. They're the ones that send their gifts. They're the ones that, because, and not that I'm doing that for that. I'm doing it because I love them. But having a friendship like that is its own reward. If you're good at cooking, baking, if you're good at writing, card making, I don't even know, whatever you're good at, cutting hair, how can you help somebody else? Do not wait for them to do it for you. You'll be waiting a long time, okay? Who has a mother-in-law in here? Okay, I mean, I know I have the best mother-in-law in the whole wide world. She like never, I never have to ask her. She always comes to me. But I have to put in my brain, okay, I need to go to her too. I can't just wait for my mother-in-law to see that I'm swamped with children. I need to go to her. What can I do to you, for you, you know? You can't wait for your husband to clean out your car. You can't. You have to clean out his car. I'm sorry. You know, like, there is something that happens when we give, especially if you give with a complete heart of love, that it you cannot stay in the blahs for very long. But you have to be, what, rooted in the vine. So let me just read the last part of this, John 15. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Whoa, that's nice. That's a really good one. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Whoa, what? Okay, so I really think that's why this verse, just this whole passage, I had nothing to do about joy in my brain. It had about abiding in him, abiding in him, abiding in him. And then I just kept on going into that little spot. And then when I went farther, I was like, wait, joy. Wow, we're not, if we abide in him and he in us, our joy may be filled. Like, that's just kind of insanity. So anyway, so when you go home and you're by yourself again, because we're always by yourself, right? We really are. We really are. You could have 1,000 people in a room, and you hear yourself. You're there. I know. The loudest voice in the room is my own. So you can go to these things. These are kind of like a little practical roadmap. In case you feel like yourself, you know, you feel yourself slipping into like a little bit of a routine or a blah moment, and go, okay, how do I abide in him? What are the things that are troubling me? What can I actually list out and fix and change, right? Abide in him. Read the scripture. Write your psalm. Give it out to God. Be completely open and honest. Do not hide anything from him. And your joy will be full. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we have nothing in heaven but you. There is nothing on this earth we desire but you. My heart and my limbs may faint and fail, but you are the strength of my life. God, we are all in here with troubled hearts, happy hearts, worried hearts, bored hearts, you name it, and you see it all. Nothing is new to you. We aren't the first generation to wake up and go, what? You have met David in the field. You have met Ruth on that field. You have met every person that's in the Bible where they were. You used a burning bush. You used a donkey. You used fire. You used wind, lightning. You've used even a worm for Jonah to tell him to stop being a complainer. God, you are in this life with us. And God, I just ask that that secret little heart place that we hide and we store all these emotions and things, that we would just open that up to you and be honest with you and let you in there so that we could have that root straight into you, that branch connected to you. Oh, God, I love you so much. And I ask, Lord, that you would take these women from the blahs to the hurrahs. God, your joy is our strength. Thank you so much for that. Amen.